Well, welcome to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be with you on this Monday morning. I pray that you had an incredible and blessed weekend. I know we had some fantastic services at Hope City Church yesterday. Man, if you're not in church, I encourage you to get in church. There's nothing like being together with a body of believers as we worship God. And, you know, this Sunday was a little bit different as we looked at some current events and talked about what it means in our world and how we respond. And it's just so nice when God's people can come together in one accord and share our hearts and our burdens and do the journey of life together. So if you're not in a local church, I encourage you, get yourself planted in a local church. It makes all of the difference. But we had a service, man, incredible services yesterday as we reflected on the events of Charlie Kirk's life being taken and what that means for the church and how we respond. And if you've missed any of that, go back to watch it. You can also watch this previous midweek service as we responded in that service as well with some stuff to really help us process and move forward as a church. And yesterday at church, we talked about boldness. And I want to continue that theme this week because I think my heart in this is I didn't want it to be something that was a service. You know, we rally the church. We're going to be bold and we're going to go forward in our faith. And then we just kind of let it, you know, it falls to the side and we go back into our everyday lives and our routines and it just becomes another sermon. So I wanted to lean in a little bit this week and continue unpacking this, if you will, because I think when we can really, you know, chew on this and make it a part of our rhythm and make it a part of our life, then I think it has all of the difference. But thank you for joining with me today. As always, I want to remind you that if you are watching on a platform that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, do all of that. It helps us get the message out. So we would greatly appreciate it if you can do that. And I know it'll be a blessing to people. So I want to, let's dive in to this today. Let's begin on this journey of boldness and what boldness looks like, what it is and what it isn't, because boldness is a word that I really, really do believe gets misunderstood. Because a lot of people hear it and they think of, well, they're such a bold person. They're such an arrogant or an aggressive person. Or a lot of times boldness, you know, people who have a lot of pride can on the surface seem bold. And we're unpacking that a little bit because it's not true boldness. So for some people, they're like, oh, well, I don't want to be a bold person. I don't want to have a bold personality. I don't want to be, you know, anything that I'm not. I'm not an extrovert, right? I'm an introvert. And if you're an introvert, that's how God made you. And that's not, we don't want you to be something that you're not. But, or other people hear the word boldness and they just simply feel unqualified, like, because they don't see themselves naturally as outgoing or loud. And they're like, I don't know what to do with this. But the boldness that I'm talking about today, I'm not talking about arrogance. It's not personality driven. It's something much, much deeper. It's spirit born. It's rooted in identity and expressed in love. God's called the righteous to be bold. Proverbs 28:1 reminds us of that. It says, the wicked flee when no one pursues them. But the righteous, they are as bold as a lion. So while we don't want you to be anything that God's designed for you to be, we also understand through scripture that he calls us as his righteous to be bold as a lion. But sometimes God will call us outside of our comfort zone or, you know, step into something that we're not really comfortable with, or we would say that's not a part of my personality because he's saying, listen, I've called you to be bold as a lion. Right? So that's our starting point. The Bible says the righteous, listen, the righteous are the starting point, not the loud, not the strong, not the extroverts, but the righteous are bold. What is righteousness? Remember, we talked about this a while back, to be in right standing with God, to know you are qualified, to know you are accepted, to know you are his, to know you are redeemed. The righteous, that's who are bold. So I want to anchor us today in a few quick scriptures, and then we'll unpack some of this. But first, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And then lastly, Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So I want to submit to you today that each of these scriptures is reminding us of something pretty critical, that boldness flows out of who we are in Christ, not who we are in ourselves. I want you to see that. Boldness flows out of who we are in Christ, not who we are in ourselves. We come to the table and say, God, well, I'm not this and I'm not that, and I'm not qualified to be bold. And you know, we bring that, but come on, if you open up this book, you will find men and women who were massively disqualified to do what God asked them to do. And here's what I found. He didn't come to the strongest. Like, I mean, I just think about Moses. Moses killed somebody in Egypt and was on the run. He spent 40 years in the wilderness because he was a murderer. So if there was anybody that God was looking to say, who can lead my people out? Surely Moses wouldn't be the right choice. You look at Gideon, who was so meek and mild and in fear and hiding on the threshing floor. If God was looking for somebody to rise up and to fight and to lead the army, it certainly wouldn't be Gideon, and he wasn't qualified. What I have found is often those who are bold within themselves, and you know, they want to take the limelight, often that's not who God has chosen, but often if God has chosen the ones who are standing there saying, I don't think I can do this. Why? Because in our weakness, he has become strong. When we say, Lord, like Moses, I can't talk to Pharaoh. I'm not of eloquent speech. I can't do this on my own. That's when Moses could say, but I'll trust you. I'll follow you. You go with me, then I'll go. So listen, what I'm saying is, don't let a personality type disqualify you from being bold in your life, because it's in your weakness that he is made strong. So let's look at what boldness is and what it is not. Boldness is confidence anchored in God's promises. Boldness is confidence anchored in God's promises. Boldness is the courage to speak the truth in love. Boldness is the willingness to obey God even when it costs something. But what is boldness not? Well, boldness is not arrogance. Boldness is not insecurity with a megaphone. Boldness is not shouting louder than other people, right? It's not like we're in a screaming match and whoever gets, you know, the loudest, they win. No, no, no. Arrogance pushes people away, but holy boldness will always draw and point people towards Jesus. Here's maybe a helpful picture. Arrogance is like pounding your chest saying, look at me, right? Boldness is like pointing your hand or lifting your hand saying, look at him. Look with the full confidence of who he is. Look at him. He's the way maker, the miracle worker. He forgives sins. He's holy. He's just. He can make the most crooked path straight. He can take the most dirtiest sinner and wash them in his blood and make them the righteousness of God. So do you understand the difference there? It's not look at me. It's look at what him, look at what he can do. Look at what he's done. So I can shout boldly from the mountaintops. You know, it's not a hard thing. You know, I often say, you know, sometimes we over spiritualize some things. But, you know, have you ever talked to somebody about their grandkids or their kids? And man, it doesn't take a lot. They will tell you how perfect and wonderful and amazing their kids are. All right. But then you get around them and you're like, no, I don't know. You might, you're seeing something I'm not, right? Or have you ever, you know, heard somebody get a new product and man, it's like, they are sharing it. They're posting it. They're talking about it. Man, this product is great. It's revolutionized my life. It's amazing. You're going to love it. And it's like, all right, every time I see this person, they're on this product. They're talking about this thing. But why? Because they found something to be true to them. And so when they're sharing about, man, this product is amazing. It's revolutionized my life. It's like, it's not a hard thing. Why? Because they found something. So they speak about it with boldness. No, I trust me. Just trust me. Just try it. Try it one time. I promise it's going to change your world, right? And it's kind of infectious. And they don't have to be outgoing. They don't have to have the right things. All they're doing is sharing their experience. They're pointing the listener. They're pointing the person they're talking to, not to themselves. They're pointing and saying, look at this. Look at what this can do. Look at how this can change your life. And in doing so, they're pointing the viewer to the product. And I'm not trying to limit Jesus to the product, but I'm just saying we are bold in our lives in natural ways that we just sometimes don't understand or we don't see, right? So identity and knowing who you are in Christ always fuels that boldness. Where does true boldness come from? Godly boldness. It comes from your identity. Knowing that you are beloved and not rejected. We talked a little bit yesterday in church about David and Goliath, and we discovered that David's very name means beloved one. So his confidence in fighting Goliath and doing all that he did didn't come from talent or popularity. It came from knowing he belonged to God. Like, remember, you know, as Goliath began to taunt him, he didn't come and say, Goliath, who are you? You don't know me. I've got skills. No, he said, Goliath, who are you to defile the living God? His boldness came from knowing who he served and who he was. When your identity isn't secure in Christ, you will always struggle in the aspect of being bold and sharing your faith. Why? Because you're not secure in who you are. That's why Romans 15 reminds us, or 8:15, says the Spirit you have received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So we can be bold. Why? Because we belong to Christ. We are accepted. We are redeemed. We aren't orphaned. We're not trying to claw away into his good graces. We are secure and not insecure. And when your identity is secure, you don't need bravado, if you will. You don't need to be somebody's echo chamber. You don't need to get the approval of other people. Why? Because your approval was found in Christ and Christ alone. Remember when Saul tried to put his armor on David, and David said, listen, I refuse it because it's not who God made me to be. Now, if I was David in that world, I'd be like, What armor do you have? Can I take a chariot? How many shields can I put around me? What can I do to protect myself in moving forward? That's not what David did. He refused it because his confidence wasn't in his appearance. He knew no armor was going to win the battle. He knew no shield, no sword. He knew in the reality, a slingshot and a stone wasn't strong enough to bring this Goliath down, but he knew in the God that he trusted, and the God that he trusted gave him confidence, gave him that security. This is a big mountain. This is a big giant. This is a hard situation, but I can move forward in confidence, not in my own strength, but because of who God has called me to be, who he has sent me to be. So what do we do with boldness? Why would we be bold? Why would God say the righteous are as bold as a lion? What is boldness for? So we can walk around with our chest puffed up? No. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, he said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. If we belong to him, if we belong to Christ, we are sent into the world not to remain silent, but to shine and bring and enforce the kingdom of heaven here on earth. I want us to get this. There is no exceptions to this. The last words of Jesus to the church, we talked about this yesterday. The last words of Jesus to the church was, go and make disciples, preach this gospel to the four corners of the world, make disciples of all nations, right? No one is excluded. No one is excluded from being a sent one. So if you claim to be a Christian, listen, then you are sent into the world not to remain silent, but to shine, not to remain silent, but to shine. So why would he call us to be bold? Why would he say, you know, listen, you got to be as bold as a lion in this world? Why? Because he's saying, I have called you as ambassadors here on this earth. And every day people are taking their last breath. Every moment people are taking their last breath on this planet, and their eternity, what they have chosen in this life, will depend on where they spend eternity. And if we really, really believe that, if we really believe the gospel, if we really believe that when people take their last breath on their planet, on this planet, they will either go to heaven or they will go to hell. If we truly believe that with all of our hearts, then there is no way that as a follower of Jesus, that we can take a back seat and remain silent and just say, well, the world's going to do what they're going to do. And that's, you know, no, we would be going out to the highways and byways, like Jesus said, and compelling them to come in, to shake violently. That word compel means to shake violently, compelling them. And I'm not promoting violence. Don't hear me, but it's about a position of heart, an attitude, a part of your spirit that, come on, I have to tell these people about Jesus. I could be the very last person that coworker or that store clerk or the person behind me at the gas pump ever encounters. I don't know when their last minute is. So in everything I say, do, let it point people to Jesus. As we look this week to remember Charlie Kirk, and you know, they're hosting events in his memory and all of that. One thing that was amazing about him is he married his call to politics and speak into the political realm and the social realm. He never let his faith take a back seat to that, but he boldly declared his faith in God. So why did God call us to be bold? To marry it to something very practical, to share your faith. Listen, you are not excluded from sharing your faith with other people. Boldness isn't being loud. It's not confrontational. One of the amazing things I love, if you watch some of Charlie Kirk's debates, and you know, the world says, oh, he was full of hate. He was, you know, I have not found one clip where somebody came up and debated him and he was nasty. He was arrogant. He was mean. He would challenge their points of view with the gospel, but not personally attack the person. And that there's a difference there. Because listen, when people when their eyes are blinded, it's hard. I get it. It's hard to believe this. It's hard to believe this book. Why would they lay their lives down, change everything to follow a God? Right. So attacking the person isn't going to help that situation. Attacking their character or who they are, the decisions that they made. They're wounded, hurting people, blinded. And it's our job to come in and not back down, not say, well, you know, hey, if that's that, no, I'm not going to affirm their lie. I'm not going to affirm their deception. I'm going to stand and boldly declare the word of God. But I'm going to do it with love and compassion. And if they walk away and say, well, I don't believe any of that, and I don't want anything to do with that, well, then that's their choice. But let them never leave my presence and say, nobody ever told me. Nobody ever told me about Jesus. So it's not about being loud or being confrontational. It's about being willing to share what God has done in you. So let me really quickly give you some tips, because all this week I'm going to keep challenging us to bring Jesus, share Jesus in our world. You may not be called to start a political movement. You may not be called to go to college campuses, but you have a world. You have people around you, people that you connect with who need to hear Jesus. Pastor Parsley often says that a person with an argument is always at the mercy of a man with an experience. What does that mean? People can argue about doctrine, but they cannot argue with your testimony. They cannot argue with your testimony. You have a testimony. Jesus did something in your life. There's a reason that you're tuning in at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning. Why? Because you believe in this. You believe this gospel. You want to follow Jesus with all of your heart. There's a reason you're listening to this today. Why? Because you believe that God has done something in your heart. Your testimony has three simple parts. And actually, the Bible says we overcome with word of our testimony. We overcome the lies of the adversary. We overcome culture. We overcome the devil with what? Word of our testimony. So there are three parts to your testimony. It's pretty simple. Life before Jesus, how you met Jesus, and what your life is now, right? And that can be brought up in everyday conversations. Evangelism doesn't require a microphone or a pulpit. It happens at work. It happens at the store. It happens with your family. It's simple phrases that can open a door. Can I tell you, even most atheists won't reject prayer. People who are hurting love to talk about their problems. That's not a bad thing. But how many times do we walk away and just say, oh yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that, man. But instead of just saying, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you about that? Or to say, hey, I know you're going through, but can I share a Bible verse with you? Can I text it to you? A verse that helped me when I was feeling anxious. Or to say, hey, this weekend at church, I learned something that encouraged me. Can I just share that with you? And most people, they're not going to reject that. Why? It's not intrusive. It's not screaming in your face. It's sharing your story. It's showing somebody what helped you, what brought life change, how it impacted your world, right? But keep it simple. And here's the thing about sharing your faith. The gospel in its simplest form has incredible power beyond our imagination. First of all, the Bible says that nobody comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. What we often try to do is we think, well, what if they ask me a question about the Bible that I don't know? Well, say, I don't know. Just say, I don't know. No one's saying you got to know it all. But here's what I'm saying is the gospel in its simplest form. You might think, well, no, but that's so juvenile. Listen, the gospel fits that God-sized hole in people's heart. And if God sent you to talk to somebody, to share your faith, to encourage somebody, it very likely means that there's already a working on the inside of them. And the core message of the gospel is clear. God loves us. Sin separates us. Jesus saves us and faith restores us. Come on, God loves us. Sin separates us. Jesus has saved us and faith in Jesus restores us. You don't have to have every answer. Just share the truth and trust the Holy Spirit to do the work. So I'm going to ask you today, I'm going to challenge you today. What if I challenged us to pray for one person and not say, hey, I'll pray for you. No. But to stop in your tracks and to pray for one person today. It could be a coworker complaining. It could be your kid. It could be a parent at school drop-off. Just somebody talking about their world, talking about their day. What if you just said, Lord, I'm going to make it my mission to pray for one person today, to step out, to be a little bit bold? Or what part of your story could you share this week to help somebody? Have you been silent because of fear of rejection? Again, who do you belong to and whose are you? You don't need the approval of this world. You have the approval of the Most High God. So here's my activation challenge for you today. Ask God to highlight one person that you can reach out to this week with encouragement. One prayer, one testimony. Say to the Holy Spirit, highlight it. And I promise when you pray this prayer, when you pray this, God's going to do it. And you're going to have that moment of decision. Should I don't know. Do it. Stew it. Do it. Do it. So would you pray this prayer and commit to before the Lord to step out in boldness? And even maybe as you're watching this teaching, maybe you're recognizing that fear has silenced you. Maybe you've been hesitant to even speak to your family about your faith. But come on. This week, we're going to be bold. We're going to take steps of faith. We're going to reach our world. We're going to love people. This world is hurting. This world is broken. We're not here to just exist. We're here to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, to bring the kingdom of heaven onto earth. So would you before God pray that Holy Spirit, I commit to you now. Pray this yourself. This week, if you highlight someone to me, I will either pray for them. I'll either share my faith or part of my story or invite them to church or share what I've learned and where I feel weak and scared, Holy Spirit, help me trust you. Give me words to say. And I believe I'll be making an eternal impact through my boldness. So help me, Father, not back up, not back down, not quit, not give up, but to stand in boldness to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Would you just declare this with me as we close today? Say, I am the beloved child of God. I am not timid or afraid. I carry his power, his love, and his sound mind. I will live boldly, love deeply, and share Jesus freely. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I trust that you have been encouraged and blessed by this live stream today. It's always an honor and a privilege to be with you, and I look forward to being with you all week, so don't miss a day. Come on, we're here every day, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m., bringing you encouragement, bringing you the good news, helping to challenge your faith. And if you can't watch us, come on, you can watch us on repeat, on the replay, all of our apps, Pioneer Television Network, everywhere you can find us, there will be. So thanks for being on with me today. It's been an honor. And I remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.